But today I want to start off by talking about it takes a step of faith. Everything worth ever doing in life takes faith. You can call it risk. You start a new business, it's always a step of faith. If you involve yourselves in any environments, any social groups or whatever, it takes a step of faith. And you never know what your potential is unless you're willing to step out and do something. And so, and I encourage you to do that in all of your lives. In church, God has a unique way of blessing churches. First of all, God is in this church. God is part of blessing the church. We started this church with a handful of people about 17 years ago, and we've grown to a good, stable church, and we've rented here now for about 16 and a half years, give or take. And we've always wanted to own our own building, and we've looked at a number of opportunities. We thought about buying land, but you know, if you know anything about Connecticut, buying land and then trying to finance a building is very difficult. But it takes faith. But not just faith as a church collectively. It takes every individual here to have faith and trust God. Faith includes another word that we don't like to hear sometimes. It's the word sacrifice. It means God wants us to be blessed, and I believe that God wants us to have our own facilities, but I think God has the resources and has all the pathway already opened up, but I think God is waiting to see how we respond to this opportunity, and I believe that God blesses us when we step out. And no better scripture for that is in the book of Joshua, we're going to get to in a second here, but let me set up the story. The children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness after Moses led them out of Egypt for 40 years for a number of reasons. One was a lack of faith. One was disobedience, but one was not trusting God fully. And God says, since you're not going to trust me fully, you're not going to reach the promised land, which probably should have taken just a month or two to get to. It took 40 years of them wandering in the wilderness because of their lack of faith, because of their testing God, and because of them not being obedient. Well, it comes to the end where God finally is prepared to get them to go into the promised land where we know is Israel today. They were going to cross the Jordan River. And God had them ready to go, but he had a request. He had a prerequisite for him to be able to get them over them. Back then, there were not, you know, bridges over rivers like this. There were not able to put, you know, you're talking about probably 6 million Hebrew people across the river. And so, it's not a river like you think. It's not a real narrow river. It's a wide river that goes from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. And so God gave them an instruction about how they're going to go over to the promised land, and he tells them to do something, which I call, it takes a step of faith. And we're going to begin reading in Joshua chapter number 1, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and we're going to read the whole chapter, and I may stop and give you some insights as we go forth there, okay? Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out of your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. And I'll be honest with you, for all of us right here, what we're doing, we've never been this way before. I've been through this a number of times as a pastor, but this is the first time we're going through this. But keep a distance from about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, which means dedicate yourself to this purpose. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I love that. God will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelite, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hevites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. And the only one I needed in there was the Cellulites. So, which we all have a little bit of. So, see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth, and we'll go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. It's a wonderful story, but it's a story of stepping by faith. The nation of Israel had been promised this land for many, many years. But because of the fact that they did not have the trust in God at that particular time when they left Egypt, there were grumblings. If you know the story at all, you've been involved in church, you know they had the golden calf. They had all these things. Moses brought down the Ten Commandments. He was upset. He broke them because of their disobedience. And so God was holding them back from opportunity because they just weren't there yet. And so now they come to the Jordan River. Moses has left the scene, and Joshua, who is now in charge, is now God's man for that time. And God tells Joshua what to do. And it's interesting this. God always seems to tell us things to do that don't always make sense. Because after the story, they go to the Jericho. If you know the story of Jericho, they were going to overcome that city. Because even when you get in God's will, you hit obstacles. And he had them march around it seven times and blow trumpets and shouts, and the wall came down. So it's always about just trusting God at his word. So they walk up to the river, and God has said, listen, what I want you to do is I want those of the Ark of the Covenant, at a certain time, I want them to go and stand in the Jordan. Now, I want you to catch a little bit what happened here. They were told to go stand in the River Jordan. They weren't told immediately what would take place. And the River Jordan, as the description here, was already high in water. It was at harvest time, and so it had been very difficult. It was very treacherous at times. The current was a little wild, as you can imagine. Because any time you have the water rising, usually the current gets worse and worse. But they were told to go stand in the water. And when they do that, God was going to show themselves. So then Joshua tells them what they're going to do. And it's interesting that as soon as the people carrying the ark and the 12 leaders from each 12 tribes touched the water parted. And here's what's interesting about this. God could part the water anytime he wanted to. If you think about the Red Sea, which is the more popular story of water being divided, it was a matter of God doing it to protect them from the Egyptians who were following, and they walked over on dry land. This time, though, before they get to have the promised land, before they're able to attain the goal they've been looking for, God wanted to know, are you willing to take a step and trust me a little bit? And as soon as they touched the waters parted and dry land appeared, and the nation of Israel crossed over on dry land. And the leadership stood in the middle of the dry land in the Jordan River. And you can imagine that took faith for them to stand there as leaders and just observe all the people coming across. But that gave, by the way, if you're a leader here today, you're a ministry leader, you're a trustee, seriously listen to this. In all reality, the nation of Israel moved forward, but they had confidence not only in God, but in their leadership too, standing in the middle. And if you're going to be a leader, you need to lead by example if you're asking other folks to do what you're doing. And they crossed over on dry land, and they got over to the promised land. The book of Joshua covers all the events that takes place after that. They got the promised land. It was a place that we know today as Israel. It wasn't easy. They still had to overcome some enemies that were there. But God said, this is time. He knew their hearts. He put all the things together at the right time. But he said, before I get you over there, you need to stand in the water. You need to step out by faith You need to do something that shows me. Now, this is what we're going to talk about today in this message here, and as far as what we're talking about in a few minutes in the meeting. But in life in general, because I want to make sure this is practical for anybody here, anything that we do in life can be a little nerve-wracking. A new job, going back to school can be very nerve-wracking. It can be very scary. Sometimes when you want to go back to school and retrain for a job, you got to figure out where the money's going to come from and, you know, how you're going to do this, that, and the other thing. And I have always found, whether it's spiritual life or secular life, if you're someone who looks to God for guidance, that you can always trust this principle, and it's throughout Scripture. When God sees us take the step, God blesses that. I've been through a lot of transitions in my life. I remember having two children back in the late 70s, early 80s, and after the military service, I remember asking God about going to college and picking my family out with no job, no way of knowing how I'm going to live, and traveling from Detroit, Michigan to Springfield, Missouri, where I went to college with two children, and wondering how I'm going to take care of things. And I got down there, and God seemed to bless. That step of faith of going down there trusting God, I got down there, and I filed for the GI Bill, and I didn't know what to expect. And for my first 3.5 years in college, I had money coming every month from the GI Bill. God gave me opportunities to work midnight shift, which is kind of crazy. You go to school, but I wanted to spend some time with the kids. I mean, of course, now that they're all grown and stuff, I want to spend less time with them. They're coming over on New Year's Day. We always have the kids over and grandkids over on New Year's Day. And my wife said, I said, "You want to build a fire on New Year's Day?" Well, she said, "We can do it, you know, closer to the evening." I looked at her. She goes, "Yeah, I know. You want them out here before nighttime." I have no problem. My son-in-law's here and my granddaughter's here. I love you guys dearly. But I have no problem saying when we had all our family, I said, "Okay, time to go." When they all moved out, got married, had children and stuff, we changed the locks on the doors. I think that sent a message. But in all reality is I remember the scariness of stepping out and doing that. And in everything I've ever done, I realized that God didn't give it to me first. God wanted to see me step out. And I think God blesses that tremendously. And so that's what we're talking about. So you're here today, and maybe you're new with us today, you're a guest, and obviously do not feel obligated to the commitment card and stuff because you're our guest and stuff. But in your own personal life, you have some changes, some challenges for the new year. One thing I love about the new year, you get to make those new year resolutions. Everybody throws it out there, but you can make a decision about stepping out and making yourself healthier, making yourself read more, intelligence, and all those things. Going to take a class or two, doing these couple things here. Maybe it is a job change. Maybe you're in a job you just can't stand. And you say, "I'm just locked in." You are not locked into anything. And you say, "Well, you know, I'm getting up there. I'm in my 30s now. I can't risk. I'm in my 40s now. I can't risk. I'm in my 50s now. I can't risk." Let me tell you something. No matter what your age is, where you are in life, if you have a passion to do something and you're scared about it, that's fine. But God is able to help you succeed. I remember 24 years ago, I uprooted my family from Detroit and moved here to pastor another church. And then 18 years ago, I remember leaving that church, okay, with a full-time salary, retirement package, and health benefits. And I remember leaving that church, and I remember starting this church with a stipend of $200 a week and no benefits. My wife obviously had a good paying job as a quality assurance manager in aerospace, but we stepped out by faith. And I remember Tony and I, we made sure we worked different shifts. I worked during the day at a hardware store in Tallinn, Star Hardware, and Tony worked at a grocery store at night so that we would be available for our membership while we're starting the church. We worked outside jobs, praying that God would have this take off. And the Zolkas remember this because we started the church in their home. And it was scary. It was scary. But I believe God blessed because we stepped out by faith. And like I say, Tony and Sarah probably stepped out more than I did. Because when they announced they're leaving the other church, they were told they were in a church home facility, and they were told you got 1 week, I think, to leave. So they weren't really happy. And so we had to find them a place to live. And they found a place in West Hartford. And I remember carrying their furniture up those stairs. But But this whole place was started by faith, by a step of faith. When we came here from the Zolkos house, we had never paid rent before. Now we're paying rent. It was a step of faith. And so everything we've done, and now we've been in the wilderness for about 16 years. Not because of any disobedience or anything, not a lack of faith, but God brings everything to a time. And that time, I believe, is approaching us. And so let me give you the walk away. The walk away is simply this. It's showing God you have faith gives God a chance to fulfill your dreams. And that's what this is all about.